So first of all, Chevra, the learning tonight should be, first of all, for Refuah Shleima, for Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit, Baruch Tzvi Ben Rivka Basya, a very special person, a big tzaddik who lives in Florida. We need a big Refuah. He should be in our tefillas. He should have a complete Refuah, Bakar of Mamish. All the learning should be Refuah Shleima. Bezat Hashem. And also want that the Torah should be L'Havdil for Simcha, Baruch Hashem, my brother Moshe had a baby boy. And the bris is tomorrow morning. Bezat Hashem is Baruch, Shvizaych al-Achnisa, L'Bris al-Shavim b'itab azmano, L'Gadil l'Torah l'Chubam asim toivim. And it's brought down on Pikabola in different sources that the night before the bris is a very big time to still learn Torah. Is a shmira for the baby. If we need a few more chairs, are there enough? We could take from that room in the back. I don't know. Maybe there's enough. Shmir Hashem, our Torah should be for him as well, and for the baby, and should just have simcha and nachas for my brother Moshe and Eliza, and the ganz mishpacha. Bez Hashem. Earlier this week, my Talmud. Very, very close Talmud, Ari Mirzov. So he sent me a Torah that reminded me of a famous idea, if I'm not mistaken, it's from the Arizal. If you look at the parashios, Korach, Chukas, and Balak, as we're going to have parashios Balak this upcoming week, the culmination of those three Shabbosos, and you look at the names of the parasha, Korach, Chukas, Balak, so what you see is this moving kuf. The letter kuf starts in Korach at the beginning of the word, and in Chukas it moves to the middle of the word, and this week Balak it moves all the way to the end of the word. So what's pshat of the moving kuf? Why is the kuf moving from the beginning to the end? So I was thinking about it this week, and brought down from the Sefer Yetzirah. Obviously, it's a very Kabbalistic idea, but every month has its ois. Every month has its letter that's connected to that particular month. What month is the letter Kuf connected to? So I know some of you are thinking it must be Tammuz. It's not Tammuz. Tammuz is Ches. It's not Tammuz. It's not the month we're in. Anyone know? Kuf is connected to Adar. Kuf is connected to Adar. Kuf is connected to Adar. And here we already feel a connection. Tammuz and Av, we know, are very connected. Obviously, we're going to start. We should be Zoycha, Mashiach Zakena before, but if not, Shivas B'Tammuz is leading into the Bina Metzarim that leads into the beginning of Av and Tisha B'Av. And we know there's obviously a deep connection, obviously, as a contrast, but there's a deep connection. But maybe on a level we could understand, the letter Kuf is connected to Adar. And therefore, Kuf has to represent Simcha. Adar is Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. And somehow the letter Kuf represents Simcha. I wanted to say, maybe in a way we could understand, Kuf, if you say it out, Kuf, is what? Is a monkey. And whenever you see a monkey, I mean, a monkey is a symbolism of Simcha, of happiness, of making jokes. I mean, it's Curious George or whatever you want to call it. I don't know, you go to the zoo, monkey see, monkey do. A monkey is all about simcha. If you think about it, if you had to think of an animal that represents simcha, it's a monkey. No, am I wrong? Anyone have another animal? No, tell me.
Armadillo.
No. A what?
Armadillo.
Armadillo. Interesting. Okay. We might have to set you up with someone to speak to. I don't know. I'm not sure what that means, but... L'maisa, a monkey is simcha. So the monkey, the koif, is a letter for Adar, Mishnech Zadar Marbib Simcha. So therefore, if that kuf represents simcha, so we see these parashios, which are parashios which deal a lot with tzaros of Klal Yisrael and difficulty in Rishayim, the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach, and here in this week's parasha, Bilam and Balak and the Magefa. So we see the kuf that presents simcha is going from the beginning all the way to the end, saying that there's a lowering of our simcha zachayim, and we're entering into a time of atzvos. And that's really what these parashios lead us into. These parashios are slowly leading up to, we hope not, we still have the kuf there, we hope not, but they're leading into a state of atzvus, leading up to this upcoming Monday night, Tuesday, if we're not Zayich and Mashiach prior to Shivas or Betamas. So we're leading into, the kuf is getting farther, farther back. The simcha of the zman, the simcha of our lives is getting pushed to a zman of atzvus of Bein HaMetzarim. Maybe just to suggest what that kuf represents. But that doesn't mean in any way it's not a big zman of growth and a big zman of Azores. I said over and I shared this past Matzei Shabbos, an idea that I've definitely shared here before, but it's worth repeating. I haven't shared it here recently. And we know of all the months of the year, there's only one month that we call a bitter month, Mar Cheshvan. Even Tammuz and Av, these very difficult, challenging months of Atzvos, of destruction, of tragedy, we don't call Mar, it's Tammuz, it's Av, it's Menachem Av. It's a little bit strange. Cheshvan, yes, it's true, has no Yontif to it, has no holiday, has no time of Simcha, but it also has no day that's difficult, no Tainus. No challenging time. Tammuz has no yontiv and has the tainus of Shivas Batamas, the beginning of the 3 weeks, and all the tragedies, as the Gemara discusses, that occurred on Shivas Batamas, leading eventually to destruction of Beis Hamikdash. Yet we don't call it Mar Tammuz. You'd think, if you didn't know better, if we had to have 1 month of Mar, it should be Tammuz or perhaps Av. Why Cheshvan? So I always thought maybe Pshat is that what's something that's bitter in Yiddishkeit? Bitter is having no day that helps us get close to Hashem. Every month in the year has special days within it. Some of those being joyous special days, and some of those being introspective, difficult special days, albeit special. And those days are here, yes, perhaps to mourn, but to help us grow closer to Hashem. Tisha B'Av, we should be zoichen not to have it, but if we do and we're sitting on the floor, can be a tremendous growth. Can be a tremendous springboard to introspection and to recognizing I have to be so much more. And therefore it helps me. It's inspiring. I can come out of that day a different person. And maybe Shavuot and Tammuz can be the same. And therefore I take what's difficult and turn around miyagol l'simcha and I grow from it. So that's not mar. Cheshvan, every day is a mundane, regular day. There's nothing special in Cheshvan. I mean, it happens to be my birthday in Cheshvan, Yudzai in Cheshvan. I don't know if that was a good day or a bad day. I'm not sure. Echor Mev Esrim will be able to tell. But L'maisa, there's nothing special for Klal Yisrael in Cheshvan, so it's Mar. That's bitter. Every other month has a special day, which means we have to look at this month of Tammuz. Although it's true, the Kuf is getting farther away, the Simcha is getting farther away, and it's a Zman of Atzvos. It doesn't mean it's not a Zman of growth and inspiration and chizik and its auras. And therefore, each and every one of us have to grab onto that. In what ways do we grow? In what ways do we have to work on ourselves? So we always say here, we have to look into the parasha. We have to live with the parasha and see what the parasha is telling us. We open up this week's parasha, parasha's Balak, and we all know the amazing storyline. We all know what's going on, and Bilam trying to curse us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nepach Lebracha, talking donkeys. Everything has its makor in the Torah, you know. Maybe a few of you saw Shrek at some point in your life. Okay, you don't have to admit to it now, but if we did, where do you think they must have gotten such a concept from? Talking donkey. It's this week's parasha. It has to be this week's parasha. That talking donkey was one of the last things ever created. The Mishnah of us tells us, right? Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. It was very, very miraculous. Very, very special. Very kadosh. So okay. Found its way to the world of entertainment. But undoubtedly the most famous bracha of the brachos that were given ultimately to us by Bilam is the bracha Matoivu. The bracha that we say every single day, Matoivu Lecha Yaakov, Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. That was a bracha that was given to us by Bilam. We say that every day in our davening, in the beginning of davening. Well, some of us say it every day. Some of us said it in kindergarten, nursery, and first and second grade, and haven't said it since. You know, some of us become Baruch Shamar Asher Yishtalach Yidin. Chas V'Shalom L'Aleinu, hopefully not, but we have to be honest. But we're supposed to say Matovu every morning. Not just young children, like us as well. We're supposed to say Matovu every day. It's brought down to the Ramon, the Darchei Moshe, based on the Siddur of Amramgun. Emes is, the Marshal says not to. That Pasuk, the rest of Matova, you should say. The Marshal says not to say the first pasuk because ultimately it was a bracha that was given to us from Bilam. And we shouldn't be saying that. That's what the Marshal says. Interesting, which we'll get back to that idea. Bilam meant it to be a klal. L'maisa, but we say it every day. Why is, what toch, of all the brachas that Bilam, and we pass them like, Ramon, we say Matovu l'chayak v'mishkan osecha Yisrael. Maybe some of us still say it to the same tune. Matovu hoy l'chayak, right? Mishkan, we probably still do that. Gears of the Yuknesa. Why that pasuk of all the brachas? That's the bracha we're still saying, we're still living with, we're still connecting to. So Emma says, if you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Perkachelek, Daf Kufay Amabez, towards the bottom, he says, Amar Yoichanam, Mi Berchaso Sho'osu Rosh, from the blessing of that wicked man, Atalamad Maha Yabalibo, we could understand what was really in his heart. Bikei Shlomer, he wanted to say to us, Shlo Yehulahem Batek, and that's the Midrashos, that we should have no more shuls and no more study halls so that we'd obliterate learning of Torah, berabim, davening berabim. But instead, matov lech Yaakov. Latisha shechina aleihem, the shechina shouldn't be upon you. U'mishkan asecha Yisrael. So we see from here that this pasuk, the bracha of this pasuk, represents our bati midrashos, our bati kinesios, our connection to Hashem through our davening and through our learning. How special is that? But what's interesting, if you go a few more lines into the Gemara, Amar of Abba Barkana, Rav Abba Barkana says, Kulam Chazru L'Klal. If you read through all the brachos of this week's parasha, all of them eventually turned back to klalos. Chutz mi bati knesios and bati bedrashos. Except for this one bracha, Matayv Lech Yaakov Mishkan Asach Yisrael. This is the only bracha that we still have today. That's what the Gemara says. Based on the pasuk, Vayapu Hashem Elokecha L'cha as a klala lebracha, Kadosh Baruch Hu turned around the klala to a bracha, and the blashon yachid, the klala to a bracha, meaning only one. Ki yohevcha Hashem Elokecha, klala lo klalos, meaning one klali turned back to a bracha, meaning one we still have. Meaning, obviously at first, as we all know the story, Bilam tried to curse us, Hashem wouldn't let him, and all brachos came out, but all those brachos went back to be the klalos he wanted, except for but the Knesset is about to address us. That's it. That's what the Gemara tells us. So we have to understand what's going on. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to turn all the brachos back to klalos, why did he do it originally? Why didn't he just allow Bilam to curse us? And then why that, if he's going to turn them all back to klalos, which obviously meant in a zman, it didn't mean just immediately, seemingly what I assume the Gemara means, at a zman when we were not right, we were not fit to the brachos, we lost the brachos and they went to klalos, because that's what we deserved. But then why the one, but the Gnesset Bitter Midrashos, stays as a bracha? If they had the koach to turn back to klalos, they should all turn back to klalos if we were undeserving. Not only that, the Gemara here says, and one of them stays the bracha based on a pasuk vayapik hashemakecha ki ahevcha, because he loves you. If he really loves us, keep them all brachas. How does that show his love towards us? So I saw an amazing idea this week, Nishvila Pinchas. I remember which year it was. I think it was Tavshinayim Vav, if I'm not mistaken. He says something amazing. He says, in Bereishis Rabbah, Parshas Chayesaro, we find when Yitzchak and Rivka are davening to have a child, as we know, Rivka was barren, was suffering from infertility, and she's davening and davening. So the Medrash says, Rav Brechia, Rav Levi, B'shem Rav Chama, Bar Chanina, M'neima lo nifkado Rivka, Achin espala al Yitzchak. Why was it that Rivka and Yitzchak were not answering the child until Yitzchak davened? Meaning Rivka's davening, no answer. Yitzchak starts davening and they're blessed with a child. Shelo yoydei chachavim oimrim, so that the goyim that oydei avadazar should not say, tefilah seinu asa peros. Our tefilahs created these peros. Meaning Rivka came from the avodah chachavim. Obviously, her father and siblings and whoever wanted her to have children, and they were praying as well for her to have children. And they'll say, oh, Rivka. And Rivka also was their daughter. If Rivka herself was the one praying, and Rivka they claim for themselves, they look at her like, if they have a desire, see, it's us. It was only when Yitzchak davened on behalf of his wife that we find Yeshua Surafus. So based upon that, what do we see? That we don't want in this world there should be bracha, and there should be Yeshua, and there should be good things based on what the Umas Olam and Avodah Chavim are doing. Meaning what? Based on that, it should be Pinchas Friedman suggests. You know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away all the brachas from Bilam? Because l'maisa, we don't want brachas from Bilam. So at first, Vada, we don't necessarily want klolos from Bilam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to allow Bilam to curse us when it's undeserving. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that he couldn't curse us originally. But then those brachas that he gave us, ultimately, those are not brachas we want. We want brachas from Zadikim. We want brachas from the Eibush, the brachas. We don't want brachas from Bilam. So he took them away when we were undeserving and deserved those claws anyways. So why did Hashem keep one then? Why did Hashem keep one? And which one again did he keep? Bate Knesses, Bate Midrashos, Torah and Tefillah. See, here we have to understand something so deep. In Mamish, it's the key to our Hatzlacha as Bnei Torah, the key to our Hatzlacha in the summer, the key to our Hatzlacha in life. Is that ultimately Torah and Tefillah is the key to our success. You know, the Maral goes through and explains the different levels of this world. And most things, there's obviously that which is domain, that which in no way has any level of life to it. And there is that which is someach, you have plant life, which grows, but obviously has not much to that life. And then you have animal life. And then on top of that are human beings. And the Maral explains what separates a human being from an animal is what? The koyach hadibur. The ability to speak. Now when the Maral says the ability to speak, yes, he means on some level to communicate on a high level. But the nice animals on some level could communicate. I'm not talking Dr. Doolittle, meaning maybe that also, I don't know. But I'm not privy to that. But meaning animals could communicate on some level with each other, with even human beings. But obviously they don't have a higher level of intellect when it comes to dibur, to talk. But really, when it comes to the koyach hadibur, the separation is that we have the ability then to daven and to learn. Meaning to have a koyach hadibur and use our mouths for divrei chol, and use our mouths for dvarim betelim, and use our mouths for lashon hara, and use our mouth to talk about pritzus. How many guys have been over the last few weeks crying to me, calling me, talking to me? They're doing internships over the summer for the first time in the world of the Umas HaOlam, for the first time in the world of the mundane, and whether in some finance makom or a hedge fund or accounting firm, and find the job itself, the work itself, is an avoid and something that one has to do. You have to earn a parnasa and support a family, and these are very important things. It's very important to support your family and to be able to send your children and have a bias and have what you need for your children and be able to support them in a beautiful way. And it's part, unfortunately, it's a call of Adam Arishon, but it's a call that we have to live up to and we have to be matzliach in. L'maisa, but what's the hardest part about it for so many, the hardest part is not the work itself, it's the in-between, it's the socialization, which and you hear the conversations that go on in that world and what people talk about. And what people talk about, the disgusting, disgusting conversations, Hashem Yirachim, that the Yidden have to listen to in these makomos, and then are expected to join in on some level, and it takes a lot of self-control not to be involved in these. And if we use that, when the Maral says koyach hadibur, if we use our mouth for dvar betelim and for sheker and for lashon hara and for nivel peh and for all that our mouths shouldn't, then that koyach hadibur doesn't put us above animals; it puts us lower than animals. Now, suddenly, the animals at least are not saying anything, so they're parav. If we use our mouth that Hashem blessed us with for all these disgusting averas that so many use their mouth for, now we're lower than it. The Maral says it separates from them. I don't know if he means higher or lower.
So if you use it in the wrong way, it ends up, yeah, it separates from an animal. We're lower than an animal. The animal's above us. But then if we use our mouth for what? For Torah and Tefillah. For Torah and Tefillah. Now we're Mamish Kodesh Kodashim, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the deepest of ways, living our neshama, Mamish connected to Kisei HaKavod. And therefore, the Yisoid Shibisodos are Torah and Tefillah. And therefore, Torah and Tefillah, those two brachos, Batiknesios and Batimidrashos of Balak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could never take away from us. And that's where he shows us his love towards us, saying to us, I know there are times you're going to fall. There are times it's going to be difficult. And you deserve klolos. I mean, a tap in hemel. Everyone in this room, their father didn't give them a patch at some point in your life. Okay, you don't have to admit it right now, but let's be real, right? Whether it was a physical patch, was an emotional patch, we all got our patches. And rightfully so, we deserved them probably. Because a good parent has to know there are times when you have to discipline a child. There's something called tough love, which is very, very important to understand when and how. It's a fine line. You have to know not to over and not out of anger. And there's a lot to learn as a parent. But ultimately, I have to. If lo aleinu, chvesnisht, you have a 2-year-old child running around outside and runs into the street. And Baruch Hashem, there are no cars around, and you grab him and you bring him back. And if you don't punish that child, you don't scream at that child, you don't put him in his room for a few minutes, whatever mode you're going to do, you don't. You know what, if you just give him a hug and say, I love you, you know what you are? You're a terrible parent. And you're teaching the kid to run into the street again. So Tatin Hamel says, you don't deserve their times. I'm going to have to take it. You're going to have to have clothes. I would need to teach you a lesson. You have to do what's right. So all the brachos are going to turn back to clothes. It's nice. You don't want these. That's where I'm going to hit you first also, because these are the brachos you don't even want. These are from Bilam. But one bracha, Bet Knesset, Bet Midrashos, I love you so much, I'm never not going to have you have that lifeline to reconnect to Hashem. That lifeline where all Hatzlacha and Avodah Hashem is dependent upon. That lifeline of Torah and Tefillah, of learning and davening. That's my foundation. That's my life. Without that, I'm lost. I'm nothing. Every one of us has to have foundation. I daven with a minyan 3 times a day. If I have, now again, sometimes, once in a while, there are circumstances set in that on a day here, a day there, I can't. As far as davening with a minion, okay. There are situations we need to, but davening 3 times a day, Yerek Val Yava, I never would miss. Chas v'shalom. It's part of my life. And if I'm going to take a job, or because of other things, I can't daven 3 times a day, then that's sheker. Then that's sheker. Then that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Because that's my lifeline. Without it, I'm going to be lost. Without it, I can't ever get back. And Torah as well. How much Torah? That's going to be subjective to each and every one of us. I can't tell you each on a global level in a sheer setting how much Torah. But I always feel, I tell all my talmidim, it's important that Pasuk says, V'gisu bo yomam v'layla, to have some learning in the morning, some learning at night. Some people hopefully could, Bez Hashem, and maybe some of you right now are not working, you could learn hours upon hours, 6, 7, 8 hours a day. Maybe more. Some people are working a little bit, and you can wake up early and learn 2 hours in the morning and come home and learn an hour at night. Maybe right now your job is so serious and you're starting out in the beginning, so very little, and you only could learn the chvesish, 45 minutes in the morning, 50 minutes at night. I don't know. That you have to do some introspection, speak to your Rebbe, whoever, and figure out what the amount is. But kavat, one of the first questions, kavat imel Torah. And if you have a job or you have some situation in your life that doesn't allow kavias eat imel Torah, then it's sheker. If it doesn't allow some level of being davening 3 times a day and some level of limudat Torah, then it's all, you're giving up everything. And that's why the Rebbeinu is saying, I'm never going to take away from you. But the Midrash is, matoiv lechayak mishnah sech Yisrael. That we always need. That bracha is always with us. You know what the koyach of tefillah is? You know what the koyach of Torah is? The Gemara in Sukkah. Gemara in Sukkah. Dav Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Listen to the Gemara right before the Mishnah. Whoever knows this Gemara. Amar Belazer. Lama Nimshala Tvilasan Shal Tadikim Ke'eter. Why is the Tvilas of Tzadikim compared to a pitchfork?
Loimer lecha, to tell you. To tell you. Ma eter ze mepeches atvua begaron mimakom lemakom. Just like a pitchfork. What does the pitchfork do? The pitchfork, because vayetar is lashon of tefillah, right? Just like a pitchfork, it moves grain from one place to another. Pitchfork could move grain from one place to another. Af tefilos v'shadik tzadikim, a tefil of a tzadik. Ma peches daito shakadosh baruch hu mivida chzorios mitzvah rachmanis. It could turn around the desires of God from achzorius. What's a good English of achzorius? Treacherous, or what? Like mamish mean, cruelty. Cruel judgment to a place of mercy. Through tefillah, do we understand the koyach tefillah? What our tefillahs can do? We have to believe in that. You know, this week's parasha, Bill and Bullock. If you learn anything, you learn about the koyach of our words. What a klola could do, what a bracha could do, what our tefillahs can do. We have to believe it. Whether it be three tefillahs a day, shachat bin chamayr, whether it be davening throughout the day, we should be davening all day long. Alavai shem b'al kol hayom, Gemara says. I'll tell you something, this past Sunday. Are you ready for the story? This past Sunday I had a very beautiful chasen. Mamash, a very special chasen of a very, very special Talmud of mine, Yitzchak Zalman Seltzer, Michael Seltzer. And his chasen, he's mamish like a son. So I was there, happened to be Masad Kedushin, I was there till the end of the chasana. So I left very late. And I was coming home. I was driving home at Talmud, some of the chaver knows, Shui Afman. So if you want to ask, we have an aide, a witness in the car, exactly what happened. So we're driving home, and again, it's late at night on a Sunday night, there's no traffic, we're flying home, it's from Marina Del Rey, you think you'd be home in 20 minutes, right? But I'll tell you, what happened was, my wife was at this chasana also, she's very, very close with the Seltzers as well. Even though, don't take it personally, she doesn't come to too many chasanas, just because otherwise, as it is, my kids only have one parent that, you know, would, especially this time of the year with chasanas. I mean, I love my kids, I just, you understand. So, so we took two separate cars, so that she'd be able, it was all maisa, how we had two cars there, whatever, that's another maisa. But we had two separate cars there. So that she left earlier, and I was thinking that she knew I had to stay at the end. So because we had two separate cars, we only have one easy pass. It's another story why we only have one easy pass. Okay, not for now. Lamaisa, we have one easy pass. So of course I said, she should take the easy pass, don't worry. I'll pay the toll. And I was hoping, I didn't know, I was going to go over the Whitestone Bridge. And I didn't remember, or the Throgs Bridge, which one did we go over? It wasn't a marina, that was a different chasana. It was from Riottown, Westchester Hilton, we were going home from. So we didn't even go, it wasn't the Whitestone Bridge, it was the FDR. It was the FDR Bridge. Okay, what? You had, how many guys were there? Your girl, you were the only other guy there, you didn't say a word, okay. It was in the, no, who was marina? Oh, your cousin Shmuel Fryan was in marina last week, that's why I'm, okay. Baruch Hashem, a lot of chasanas. Baruch Hashem, a lot of chasanas. It was in Riottown Hilton, Westchester Hilton, whatever, Hilton Westchester, whatever you called. Anyways, we're going to go over the FDR drive. So I didn't remember, I didn't know. Some of these new, maybe some of the chaver men have seen in the tunnels, and they're going to no more cash lanes. So then, gewaltig. I know, I have no easy pass. They just send you in the mail to pay it. Okay, shkayach. So it wouldn't be any more time, any less time. It's good. That's what I was hoping for. But they didn't do that yet to the FDR drive. FDR bridge, whatever. Tribor bridge, thank you. RFK bridge, that's why. I knew it's something with three letters. Not over here, not where I went. I don't know. From this, there's a few different entrances. I don't know, this one. I think it was RFK Bridge. Whatever bridge I was on, they didn't do it to. Trust me. Anyways. So this is what I was afraid of. If they didn't do it, you all know what it is. When you go on the easy pass, you fly, and you look at the cash lane, and there's about a million people backed up. And every time I go over a bridge, you know, we make fun of those people. And why wouldn't they have easy pass? And you spend hours now on the cash lane. And now I'm that person that I made fun of my whole life. So I see the lane, and it's mamish. I mean the line, it's miles, literally, because there were two open. miles. So it could be by accident I was going along the side for a while. Because it could be by accident I was going by the side. But nobody wants to let you in. So you have to keep it going forward because no one wants to let you in. It's not my fault. No one wants to let you in. I kept on trying because I was coming from the left and...
You forgot you didn't have easy
points. And then, so of course, and then trying to get in, but no one's letting you, so you just have to go more forward and more forward and more forward. Fine. But then you feel bad. You can't do that too much. But it wasn't like hardly moving also. I don't know if everybody was looking for money. I don't know what was going on. It was like, mom's not moving. It's late at night. And you're like, and now you're looking at the easy pass, which is completely open. And you're like, oh my gosh. So I look up to Shemayim. And right in front of me, where I was, because I wasn't really in a lane yet, it was an easy pass. It was a closed lane. Closed. You know, they sometimes close lanes. So there's like 8 easy pass where there's no line. And there's 2 cash. And right in between the easy pass and the cash, there's 1 lane, which is my lane, basically. Closed. So I look up to Shemayim and say, Akash Baruch Hu. Trying to do mitzvahs, trying to do good things. Maybe just open it up. Maybe just open up the cash lane. One more cash lane, we'll be good. Mamish within 30 seconds. You see on top, flips down, cash, green, boom. A couple cars got before me, but mamish within 1 minute, I was through. I get up to the toll collector. I say, thank you so much. You heard our tefillas? He looks at me like, our prayers. He's like, we're home 15 minutes later. You have to daven for everything. Kadosh Baruch Hu's listening to our tefillas. Kadosh Baruch Hu's listening. And as we read in the Gemara in Yuma, k'vinepach, you can turn around anything. The koyach ha-tefillah. And the koyach ha-tefillah, not just ichvestish lo aleinu in a situation like I had, or much more serious, real situations, such as someone who's a chayla, or someone who's very suffering in parnaso, or someone who needs a shidduch badly. Obviously, we daven for all the things, and we daven for ourselves, and for our continued health, and continued atzlacha. We have to daven for our ruchnis as well. Daven that we should feel close to Hashem. Daven that we should have time to learn. Daven that I should stay stark and have Shemir Zanayim throughout the summer. Koyach of Tefillah. That's the base Knesset. But then there's the Koyach Atara. I want to read you a Medrash. The Medrash is the beginning of Bereishis Rabba, so it's the beginning of all of Medrash. In the first parish in Aleph Yud. The Medrash is going through and discussing why was the world created starting with the letter Beis, meaning because Bereishis Bara Elokim, the Torah starts with the letter Beis. So it goes through different pshatim. Davar Acher, one pshat, Lama Bebeis, Shu Lashon Bracha. The Lama Loba Aleph, Shu Lashon Arira. Aleph represents Arur, curse. Beis is Bracha. But the Medrash continues. Amr of Lazar Bachanina Bashemar Vacha Esrim Bashisha Dairis Isa Aleph Kores Tigar Lif Nekisa Shakadish Baruch Hu. Whatever this means, obviously very deep, but 26 generations Aleph was like a crown by the Kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amr Lafan of Ribbono Shel Olam Ani Rishon She'Osios. The Aleph said to Hashem, I'm the first letter. V'lo Baras Olam Amchabi. And you're not creating your world with me. You're not creating with the letter Beis, Bereishis. Amr LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ha'elam Umloya Lo Nivra Ela B'Schus HaTayra. Aleph. The whole world was created in the Schus of Tayra. All as we know, Mamish, the whole world was Toilev Oymed until Vav Sivan. If we didn't Makabal Torah, Toivavo. As we all know the Gemara. Shenemar Hashem Bechachma Yisada Aretz. And the Pasuk says, Hashem Bechachma, with Chachma, he laid the foundation of the world, meaning the whole purpose was for Chachma's Torah. Lamachar, he says, tomorrow ani bali tein Torah b'Sinai, I'm going to give the Torah at Sinai. Va'eini poiseach tchila ela bach. And I'm only going to start with you, Shenemar Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. The Torah is going to start with Aleph. So Aleph's not so bad. Meaning, the Torah that we know starts with Beis, creation of the world, but the Torah of that starts different. The beginning of giving of the Torah was Aleph. It's pretty good. And the whole creation of the world was dependent on Torah, so really, the whole world is dependent on that Aleph. Comes from Shlomo Kluger in the Sefer Yirmiyahu Shafer. Shlomo Kluger asks, I don't understand. We just saw earlier in the Medrash that the reason the world's not created with the Aleph is because Aleph represents Orer, and we need the Beis because it's Bracha. So now the Torah is going to be given to the world with that Aleph that represents Orer? The Torah should also be with the Beis of Bracha. How's that shtim? Why now suddenly we can introduce Orer into the world? So Shlomo Kluger says, unbelievably, he says, Mamish, when we created the world before Matan Torah, so we couldn't have the Arar, and you had to start with Bracha. But once we're giving Torah, and we have Torah, the Torah has the koyach to take any Arar, any Kola, and be Napach, and turn it into Bracha. Through the Torah, through Limud HaTorah, you could turn anything into Bracha in the world. So now we're not afraid of the Arar anymore. We're not afraid of the Aleph, because we can be Nepach, that Aleph, into Bracha. And we have to believe that's the Koyach HaTorah. The Koyach HaTorah take every Aleph and turn into Beis. Every R turn into Bracha. Maybe that's, Shvil Pinchas says, B'derech Drush, we call it a Beis Medrash, Beis Medrash. The Torah turns into a Beis, Beis Knesses. The Tefillah turns it into a Beis. We're bringing all the Bracha into the world. Through Torah and through Tefillah, everything could be turned into Bracha. And that has to be our Yisoid. That's the Matoy V'lech Yaakov Mishkan Osech Yisrael. That's why that bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't take away from us. I want to read you one last medrash. Because this medrash, mamish, blew me away. To see how all this comes back again to Bilam in this week's parasha. The medrash, it's in parashas told us, Samechei. Listen to this medrash. Amar of Abba Barkana. La'amdu filisafim ba'olam. There never were as great philosophers. Kibilam b'mar u'kavnimos agardi. Bilam and Avnimos were these super bright philosophers, above and beyond anyone else, bigger than Aristotle, Plato, whoever you want to talk about. Nich kansu kol of the chavim etzlo. All the chavim came to who? To Avnimos. Amrulon, they said to him, Tomar Shana Yecholim is Dabek Lumazu. Could we go and connect to this Ummah? What they meant was really destroy us. Amr Lechu v'chazrel beit Knessivel to beit Midrashos. Go check out their base Knesses and their base Medrash. V'matzasim sham tinokos mitzaptim b'kolon. If you see there children that are using their voices, that are chirping or saying words of Tefillah and words of Torah, Ein atam Yecholim is Dabek Lam. You're not going to connect to them at all. You have no power over them. When we have kol Yaakov, the voice, which we said, what's the voice? What's the dibur for? For Torah, for Tefillah, if that's going on, the Esav has no power over us. None. But if we're not learning and we're not davening, Esav has all the power in the world over us. All the power in the world. Atam yechelim lehem. Begashmi u beruchni. We all know the famous Beis Halevi. Esav sometimes is Esav of Russia trying to kill us. And Esav is sometimes Achi trying to influence us through the world views and through immorality as the world that we know today in America. When we have the Kol Yaakov of Torah Tefillah, it has no power over us. If we don't have the Dibor, the Patikas Beit Midrashos, it could all be Ara, it could all be Klala. If you've paid attention to the Medrash, it's very strange how it throws out Bilam. Right? Meaning, Maisa, the whole storyline, okay, is this whole conversation that the Umos Olam are going asking to this individual, where did we lose it over here? To this individual, Avnimos Hagardi. But it starts off, Lom de Philosophy Bolam, Kibilam, Bem R, and Kavnimos. What does that tell? Obviously, again, alluding to the godless of the bracha of Bilam being Bati Knesses, Bati Midrashos, Matov V'lech Yaakov Mishkanoseh Yisrael, reminding us what Bilam did for us. But Bilam gave us one bracha that Kodesh Baruch Hu never took away, because it's the key to our success, the key to our tzlacha. It's that which can be nepach every klal into bracha. Torah u'tfilah. Torah tefillah. To daven, the way we discussed Mamish Vada with our three tefillahs, but all day. Whatever we need in life to daven. And to learn and understand the Koyach HaTorah. Just ends with a story. I think I might have read this story once before, but I opened up to the story earlier today. I always feel what the Rabbanu Shalom brings me is that's what to say over here.
And Ramesh opened up this story, and we're reliving this story right now again. Those who are known in the know of the politics in Eretz Yisrael, we're Ramesh reliving this story. I'm going to read it to you, it's not long and short. After the war in 1967, tensions ran high in Eretz Yisrael. Many had lost children in battle and were furious over the fact that only their sons had to risk their lives, while the young men in yeshiva continued learning in security and safety of their study halls. At times, when the yeshiva boys boarded buses, they would be subjected to jeering and shouting from passengers who were bitter about the situation. The issue came to a head, and the Israeli cabinet decided to address it with a debate. Many feared that although Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion had initially established the rule that yeshiva boys need not serve in the army, the edict had run its course, and change was inevitable. Heated discussions escalated both in and out of the Israeli political world. It became the water cooler conversation of the moment. The Gedolim issued statements regarding an increase in tefillah to help prevent the law from changing. Perhaps what was most nerve-wracking was the overwhelming desire among those who wielded power in the government to once and for all force the young men in yeshiva to serve. However, the famous general Moshe Dayan took up the cause for the yeshiva boys, and his considerable political influence carried the day. The proposal for change was rejected and the situation remained status quo. The irony of Moshe Dayan defending the right's position was in itself a small miracle. And the Rosh Yeshiva and Gedolim wanted to personally express their thanks and appreciation to General Dayan. Rav Huttner, Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshiva's Rabbeinu Chaim in Berlin, arranged to meet with Dayan and express the gratitude of the Torah world. In conversation with the famous general, Rav Huttner could not help but wonder what had caused him to back the cause of the Yeshiva Bachram. Dayan was a left-wing secular Israeli, and here he was defending everything that seemed to be diametrically opposed to the way of thinking. Dayan received the yeshiva warmly and smiled when he was asked the obvious question. He explained, "I grew up in a home where breakfast and lunch were served on Yom Kippur as though it were a regular day. Yet one day in high school, our class was assigned a project to recite a poem by Bialik. I chose the poem entitled Hamatmid. It speaks of the power of a child who learns Torah. Miata Shamir, Umiata Chalamish, La'amod Lufnei Na'ar Ha'osek B'Torah. Who are you, Emery Stone, and who are you, Flintstone, to stand in front of a child who learns Torah?" Dayan turned to Rav Huttner and smiled. "If Torah is the rock that has allowed the Jewish people to persevere over the last 2,000 years, then who am I to shatter it?" Rav Huttner was amazed that even a non-believing poet and a secular leftist general had understood what the power of Torah can achieve. How much more so must we guard our responsibility of learning Torah with which we haven't been entrusted? The Koyach of Torah and the Koyach of Tefillah. Matayv alach of Mishkan Asach Yisrael. You know, read through a parasha like Balak, and the parasha of Balak is overwhelmingly difficult. Rishon, Bilam, Balak wanting to destroy us. Magefa at the end. Yes, we see Nepach lebracha, but then we read the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we see all the brachas. Nepach lebracha, Nepach leklala. Chutz. We walk away from this parasha recognizing the key to Hatzlacha is Torah and Tefillah. And that has to be our rock. In every single day, in every situation, wherever we are, that we have serious learning and serious davening. And that chus will be zayicha only to bracha and geula and simcha for all of us and all of Klal Yisrael. Bez Hashem is baruch.